loud and clear.
Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to another edition of the Blood and Knuckles Show, PK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by us. Yes, we're presenting ourselves these days, ladies and gentlemen. We want that freedom of speech. And I am on the line with the one, the only, the man who taught Bob Bruton how to live his kick, the man who does not give a shit, the man who told Mr. Diaz, no, I'm not talking Nick, I'm talking Nate. You could beat Connor and be great, and god damn, then you could start to weigh your money by the weight. And he brought a smile to the Diaz brothers. This is the man who was the original producer of the movie called Tuthers. He's the stunt devil for Daredevil. God damn it, he is the dude from Fast and the Furious, alive again. Pedal to the metal. He is the one and only. The man taught Eddie Bravo jiu-jitsu. God damn. He's the one running the Paychex organization. And he is looking for world domination. It is the one and only Andrew the Slayer Smith. What's up?
Yo, 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 what it do? Wow, that was a great introduction, folks, I got to say. You know, one thing I got to admit that's nice, I know, you know, me and Ryan, we're not bringing you the amount of shows, you know, as we used to. But, you know, when we do them not every day, those introductions are fucking superb and on point. I got to say, yeah, check out my Wikipedia page. All the things that Ryan says about me before the show are 100% accurate. But Ryan, you know, let's just dive in it. You know, dick first, man, not deep. That means it's Friday, and this is something, folks, I'm just kind of breaking it, hoping Ryan's on board. Get ready for the new series, Friday Night Fight Talks. Every Friday, at some point, me and Ryan are going to bring you some of the hottest fire, some MMA, some nitty gritty, and some swag. Because, hey, it's Friday. It's been a long week. As Ryan used to say, you know, pour up that sake, crack a beer, and get ready just to talk some fights.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. First off, Andrew, I'm a little shocked right now by the MMA world. I'm a little shocked by what I perceive one of the dumber moves I've seen the UFC do, and that's saying a lot. We're talking about not very smart people in general that are running this world-dominant organization. We're talking about a bunch of knuckleheads. We're talking about dudes that, you know,
Ray finally gave them some praise.
They confirmed that there is an Illuminati just because they own the UFC. Like, they got to be part of that shit. Because only way these knuckleheads get fucking the UFC is, you know, because of the Illuminati. That is my conspiracy.
Well, Ryan, it's funny you're bringing up the Illuminati just because anyone who hasn't watched it yet, just a quick side note, this show is on a, you know, there's a show, 11-22-63, Hulu's Big Answer. That's the day that JFK got assassinated. This show was probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
Clearly JFK was, and this isn't even a conspiracy at this point to me, JFK was assassinated by our government. I think there's no doubt about it in my mind. No joke, for real. I mean, look at the evidence. They had a retarded guy that clearly couldn't hit the shot doing it. He fucking was at a spot with his tested it a million times. No one could have hit the shot. And then it's clear by the video that Kennedy was hit in two different spots. But they say it was one bullet hole. Come on. And then the guy who admits to doing it, who's retarded, and is like,
He got killed 2 days later.
And the guy who killed him gets killed. And I'm just saying, this is a government who planned out a terrorist attack in Miami to go to war with Cuba. This is a government that did LSD tests on the Oklahoma City bomber and fucked up his mind. This is a government that did LSD tests on our own soldiers and actually give our soldiers, no joke, in the 50s and 60s, 70s, they would, or more 50s, kind of that time, they would give our soldiers high doses of, you know, stuff they would trip off of, because they, if they get caught, they would take it. This way they would go crazy and they wouldn't be able to tell the enemy anything about it.
Wait, time out. I gotta say, it's pretty smart, whoever thought of that. Like, I'm not sure.
No, they originally tested it as a way to get people to talk, like other people to talk. Other, so, like, if we capture a soldier, we're going to give them LSD and they're going to open up their mind. But they had no idea how much to give because they were just learning about it. So they gave too much. And these Koreans or whoever they were capturing were going absolutely ape shit. So they said, fuck it. We're going to give it to all of our soldiers. And we're going to tell them, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what it is. But if you get caught, put this in your mouth. And you are never going to be able to tell them anything about anything because you're going to be crazy the rest of your life. I'm just saying, it's a corrupt motherfucking government. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, me and Andrew's other best friend, we are going to add to the Bloody Knuckle Show family because we love conspiracy theories so much. Me and Connor Thompson, Andrew Meredith might get in on it. We'll see. He's a right winger, but he might be the other voice on the podcast that talks against the conspiracy theories. Who knows? But we are going to add a kind of conspiracy theory talk onto the Bloody Knuckles Show network, as they're going to start calling it, as we get more on the grind. And you know, we'll have our other shows, our NFL, our non-MMA shows. Just a little sidebar. But Andrew,
you got love the sidebars. But just to put a bow on it, though, 11/22/63. Watch it, James Franco going back in time, trying to stop Kennedy from being vaccinated. What's up?
You got to tell me where to find this show.
What do you mean? What kind of show?
No, where to find it. Hulu,
and then for everyone else who, you know, is anti-government, now hold your horses. Not illegally torrenting it and downloading it, so don't try and lock me up for 10 years. You got to see it.
That I could find this on.
Maybe something else. It'll be 4K. Movies4K.eu, I have been told, is a site with everything. Also, if you just type in on Google the show's name and streaming, it should be able to pop up.
Sidebar. Andrew, don't tell the folks how a streaming site. You're going to get that bitch shut down tomorrow. You know the government listens to us. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. But, what I've been hearing from you, I mean, it's James Franco. The guy has a proven track record in vice. He's going to make a badass show, you know what I'm saying? And what I've been hearing, it sounds great. And I got to also give a plug while we're doing it. I did watch Daredevil. I've been hearing the hype. I'll start with that real quick. all I got to say is, 2 seasons now, clear that Daredevil and his little gang of fucking people that never stopped complaining, Karen and Foggy. Foggy was a little funny in the first season, but Karen and Foggy, they're always bitching, and Elektra is annoying. They're always bitching, they're always complaining, they're always bellyaching. Daredevil never wants to kill anybody. He wants to always do the right thing. This was a badass motherfucker taking out Russians and shit. I'm sorry. He took a step down this season, in my opinion, with his weird fighting ninjas like he's on Power Rangers or something. That was a step down. But it was still a great show because season one, was stolen by a great actor. I don't know who is, what his name is. Wilson Fisk was his name in the show, a.k.a. I mean, it's like when you watch a show when it has, like, True Detective or something like that, and one of the actors, like Matthew McConaughey, you're like, you love every scene that he's in. That's what it was like with Wilson Fisk. He made season one. Take him out, and you're like, oh, man, this show's all right. Great action, but, you know, it's pretty good. Season two, I'm sorry. All I cared about was Punisher. Everything else in that season was complete trash to me. I mean, it was complete trash. Like, I mean, the action was good, but Daredevil's storyline and all that shit and all the belly aching and complaining and arguing was bullshit. I just like Punisher because, first off, that actor from fucking Walking Dead is a badass. Second off, I mean, that dude legit, I think he kills people in real life. I think he thinks it's a zombie apocalypse in real life or something. Like, I could see that motherfucker just murdering people in real life. Second off, basically, like, throughout the whole show, this motherfucker never listens to anybody. He gets begged not to kill people, and he's still murdering people. He doesn't give a fuck. He wipes out whole rooms of people. He wipes out a whole prison at one point. This guy is the man, and he steals the show. So my opinion, Daredevil, lackluster show, if you don't add those two. So season three, you better be bringing Punisher back or bringing in the Defenders, which you're planning on doing eventually, or doing something, because the rest of the cast is annoying as fuck. But quick plug, Andrew, I got to say, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story, I can't wait to see each season and what is it about, like, what each season is about. I would love to see, like, maybe the Kennedy effect. Oh, I guess they kind of did that with your show, but great show. I mean, everybody kills it. John Travolta looks like he had 12 plastic surgeries. I don't know if that's like a mask or something, but that motherfucker looks like he's got Frank Mir's belly on his face. But John Travolta looks like a fucking weirdo in that show. He throws me off a little bit. Cuba Jr. is just kind of Cuba Jr., but everybody else kills it. And I've never seen somebody get away with murder so clearly, but still got away with it because he had great lawyers. Epic motherfucking show. And if you think I just gave you a spoiler, god damn, do you not know history. Yes, O.J. Simpson got off, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, hold up. People didn't know that?
I'm just saying, if people are like, what?
But Ryan, you did mention someone, and we gotta pull out of these sidebars.
I have a UFC grudge they gotta take out.
No, but there's a guy you already brought up. It was breaking news, just broke. Frank Mir, we were roasted on the last show. Rumors are now he may have failed the drug test for steroids. Frank said he didn't. I honestly think there is no way. They don't know. It's not confirmed. Receiving notice.
I think there wasn't diabetes and insulin he was pumping into his body.
Or dick pills. Like, if Frank said they were dick pills, I'd believe him at this. There's no way he was on PEDs.
God damn it, drug testing people. All I'm saying, if you're not going to let these old guys take testosterone, you got to get it straight if it's steroids or dick pills, because these guys need something. I'm just saying. Frank Mir's already fat as shit because of his profession. He probably has brain damage. What, he can't fuck because, you know, he can't do it to the athletic commission? What is the athletic commission creeping in the bedrooms like, oh, nope, your dick's too hard, buddy. You must be on something. Your performance is getting enhanced in the bedroom. We can't allow it. We don't want you to be that alpha, buddy. Nope, you can't have that good of sex. What? Are you fucking crazy?
It's all speculation, folks.
Maybe,
but
that's why Jose Aldo looks so sad all the time. He can't do the dick pills no more. I think Chad Mendes gave him Conor McGregor gave him a permanent frown. But Andrew, all right, Frank Mir, I'll react to that first. I don't care. Fuck Frank Mir. He needs to retire or go to Bellator. I don't know what these guys are hanging on to in the UFC, like these old old guards like why are you putting Ben Roethlisberger, JDS, and some card in Croatia? Like at least
the card sucks.
The main event's good, but like, come on, you put that shit in Croatia with almost a whole heavyweight card. Like, heavyweight's the worst division to watch right now, unless it's all knockouts, always sloppy. And Ben Rothwell and JDS is going to be a good-ass fight. We'll talk about that more later. But throw them motherfuckers on Croatia. But, Andrew, I got to pick my bone real quick. It was announced the UFC once again made a bonehead decision when it came to Ronda Rousey's career. First, they could have made millions by having Ronda Rousey rematch Holly Holm. All you got to do is keep Holly Holm from fighting, and then you have the biggest rematch of all time. Then Misha Tate beats her. And then all of a sudden, you have an epic fight, Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate. All Misha Tate has to do is not be scared of Ronda, which she clearly is, and wait for Ronda Rousey to come back. And for some reason, instead of putting Robbie Lawler, because there's no way they're putting another title fight, Robbie Lawler, the guy all of us wanted to see fight, you better be bringing back George St. Pierre to fight Robbie Lawler and in New York or something if Robbie Lawler is not going to be on UFC 200. Instead of having an epic Robbie Lawler brawl that we all were looking forward to, you put fucking Misha Tate, not versus Holly Holm, which she just beat in an epic fashion in a great fight, which Holly Holm is ready for an automatic rematch. You put her against Amanda Nunes? Isn't that who she's fighting? Are you fucking kidding me? So,
there was rumors that Misha turned down a Holly Holm rematch. And that was actually what I wanted to ask you. One thing I wanted to ask you, though, about that, Ryan, is, I mean, you can't really make the argument that Holly deserved an automatic title rematch. You know, I mean, yeah, she beat Ronda. Right. Look at the way she lost. But do you, like, I don't know, if Misha did turn it down, I was just kind of wondering if I could get your assessment, what you thought, if Holly deserved an automatic rematch, if it wasn't going to be for Ryan, if Misha did turn it down. Just what are your thoughts on that whole situation?
First off, let's look at it like this. If Florida State was undefeated and they had beat Alabama the first week of the season and they beat them bad, like 46-0, and somehow Florida, who, you know, was a decent team, got a Hail Mary, or maybe Georgia Tech or something, or let's say Florida, because all the girls from Gainesville have little scrunch faces like Macy Tate, threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game to beat Florida State. Would you not want to? And then the playoffs came around, and there was an ideal situation where they both could get in and maybe even have a rematch. Or, Florida State just could get in the party. But for some reason they don't, and their only loss is that Hail Mary. That is kind of the situation that's going on here. I know it's a different sport, but Misha Tate, I know you could say, oh, Holly Holm doesn't deserve it, there's already too many rematches, blah, blah, blah. That is true if Misha Tate is going to fight Ronda Rousey. But if Misha Tate is not fighting Cyborg or Ronda Rousey, then God damn it, she should be rematching Holly Holm. She should be rematching Holly Holm. There's no excuse. And Dana White is now punishing Holly Holm because he has beef with her manager. And I think that is so dumb because UFC 200 would look so much better with Holly Holm, Misha Tate, too, after that epic finish, than having Misha scrunch face, not cupcake, scrunch face, looking like she's eating a cupcake all the time with that scrunch face, a motherfucking nasty, like, 10-year-old cupcake, like fighting Amanda Nunes, who no one cares about. So Amanda Nunes wins this fight, Andrew. Then
at UFC 200, UFC 200, too. It's not just a fucking other card. This is UFC 200. What the fuck?
Yeah, and, like, you already have the desperate Jose Aldo. I like the fight, but it's an interim title fight, and that fight could end up being boring. You never know. To add this fight, it's like not UFC 200 worthy. The 115-pound woman's fight, title fight that's a week before with Claudia Gadea versus, I forget her name, whatever the other one's name is, and they fucking had a full-out street fight on The Ultimate Fighter, which hasn't aired yet, but it looks like it's going to be epic. There's huge rivals. That fight deserves to be on UFC 200 more. Is this the UFC trying to push Misha as their new poster girl? Just in case, you know, Ronda's not going to come back fully, or maybe they're trying to hype Misha up more. You know, maybe she gets a big win on UFC 200, and then she gets Ronda Rousey. But to me, it just doesn't make sense because of the risk factor. Even with the reward is not even that big. It's just like, oh, Misha Tate won a fight she was supposed to win. How do you think? How would you argue that if you were Dana White?
How would I argue?
How would you argue the matchmaking of putting Misha versus Amanda Nunes?
I mean, I don't really think you can argue it if you're arguing for the sake of, like, to say it's better than a Ronda fight or a Holly Holm. I don't think you can. It's just, it's so, first of all, Amanda Nunes. This news was kind of shocking to me. I remember getting, you know, Bleacher Report, freaking God, they break everything these days. Just those shitty MMA updates. That is the one sport I never want to see an update about on my phone because it's always just disappointment. Either a fighter is hurt or it's a shitty match. And I mean, Dana can always pull the typical, oh, you know, Ronda's not ready to come back. Because, I mean, honestly, we all know Ronda doesn't want to come back yet. Or maybe Dana could be saved. Like, if he's trying to argue with two people in the company, you want to save Ronda. You can't throw all your superstars on one card and then you're shit out of luck for, like, 4 or 5 months. So you got to save Ronda to headline for another big card. I don't know if he's thinking that.
Ready to come back, let's say UFC 201 or 202, and let's say you should take out the war. What if Misha Tate's not ready after that? And what if Misha Tate, you know, uses the I'm not ready, I need to get out 6 months? You then have Holly
Holm. You throw that interim title, and have Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey have to have a rematch, especially with the way that Dana's been throwing around the interim title lately. And you know what? I kind of like it. I actually kind of like it. I can't front like I used to complain he didn't use it enough. And, I mean, now that he's actually using it more and more, hey, I got to say, I like it. But, I mean, come on. There's no way you could argue this. I mean, no hate on Amanda Nunes. She did what she had to do to get the rematch. You know, the chips fell, and, you know, she's got a shot in her lifetime. She's got the shot of a lifetime. And you know what, Ryan? I kind of find myself, you know, stories are true with Misha turning down the Holly Holm fight. I pray to God I'm going to be rooting for Amanda Nunes. I have to admit it.
Yeah, because Holly Holm gave Misha that chance, and she didn't have to. And you got to think of it like this, though. Everybody and their mother said that Ronda Rousey could not beat Holly Holm in a second fight. I mean, we didn't agree with it, but looking at the analysis, you know, Holly Holm is a bad matchup for Ronda because Holly Holm, we saw Misha was able to out-wrestle, but Holly Holm just has that Ronda kryptonite. And the UFC got a get-out-of-jail-free card by having Misha Tate win that title. This way they could have had Ronda come back in a huge rivalry, maybe even in the first New York card, which maybe they still can, but, and she could go against Misha Tate, a girl she beat twice, and then you could have your poster girl, Ronda Rousey, back with the title, and maybe eventually you have Cyborg Holly Holm, and Holly Holm loses, and then maybe Ronda doesn't have to fight her for a while. Maybe she fights Cyborg instead, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's the Batman using that kryptonite. You know, Holly Holm is that fight you don't want Ronda to have, especially if Misha has the title and you're going to do it like an interim fight, and then what if Ronda loses and then you're stuck with Holly Holm, Misha 2, and Ronda's almost out of the sport at that point, 2 losses in a row, her psyche could not take that. Misha would have been the bounce back win she would have needed. To me, it just makes no sense in the world. And I feel like the UFC is fumbling the football on the 1 yard line like Ernie Sims' brother did. God damn him, that motherfucker. I'm so pissed off about that Georgia Tech game.
And I am too. Thanks for bringing that up.
Fucking sit my
fucking Georgia Tech. Just as a Florida's goddamn Georgia Tech. That's two unbelievable. Now that's two freaking games we've given them from in the last decade.
Fuck,
that was inside, though, man.
Georgia Tech is the Stanford Notre Dame of the FSU world. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not even as bad, but still, like, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Find a way to piss us the fuck off. But I'm just saying that UFC has found a way to fumble UFC 200 because, all right, you got to think that the UFC is relying heavily that Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz is just going to sell the shit out of this fight. And you got to think there's a huge possibility Conor could lose. And, I mean, you know, Nate could be your superstar, but Nate's not reliable to fight for that long, especially when he's making that money. And, you know, that could be the last, you know, I know Dana said, oh, Conor's going to go back no matter what. But without IVs, you never know. And then 2 losses in a row. But they're fumbling this UFC 200 card because 198 is already better right now. And UFC 200 is supposed to be your biggest event of all time. And your two co-main events you came up with was Misha Tate versus a nobody and Frankie Edgar, although, which, you know, a couple years ago it's a big fight, but now it's like, it's a decent fight. But UFC 200 was supposed to be like a GSP Anderson, you know. I love the Conor Nate main event, but I think the UFC now is clearly just depending on Conor McGregor to sell the shit out of UFC 200. And it shows it still is the Conor McGregor show in the long run. I think UFC 200 deserves more than what they're giving it. I would even love if they would have took Anderson off of that Brazilian card and put him on UFC 200. You know, I thought him, Michael Bisping, too, would have been a perfect UFC 200 fight. I mean, when you're talking about UFC 200, Andrew, you've got to have some great, like stars of the past, you know, like they had Mark Coleman on UFC 100. Like, it would have been great to have a Vitor Belfort on there, or an Anderson Silva, or even if, you know, DSP came back, just guys that have been big for the organization for a long time, or even a Nick Diaz, bring those guys back. But I think they fumbled. Andrew, I got a question. Tyson Fury, we all know he upset Vladimir Klitschko in one of the biggest upsets in recent boxing history. We all know how big Vladimir Klitschko's name is, and it's a boxing heavyweight title fight. It's now set on the same date as UFC 200.
Wow.
This is going to affect the UFC 200 pay-per-view buys. Because that was a horrible fight the first time, but still, a heavyweight championship fight where, you know, everyone wants to see what's going to happen. I mean, I'm clearly going to watch UFC 200. Do you think Conor is just too big right now for that to even affect it? Or do you think that that box has an effect on UFC 200?
I think it will hopefully. The Klitschko fight is like normal, and it's, you know, usually at 4 p.m. or something extremely early, like, you know. So I'm praying to God, but this is just a lose-lose situation for fight fans in general. This is an L we're taking. You know, obviously you want to enjoy both events to the fullest. So I think, I mean, it's going to affect, it might affect the UFC somewhat of getting those fans that like boxing more, but you know, they enjoy the UFC too, you know what I mean? Those mixed fans that like boxing a little bit more. But all in all, though, I think, you know...
If you're from the UK, that has to be a big Conor McGregor, you know.
Yes, yes, it does. Actually, you got to think about that. I do not know. I don't know, man. Those Conor fans, bro, they're like, they are passionate. I don't know. That is going to be tough. Because you got to think, the ones that really travel to the United States, oh, you're talking about the pay-per-view buys, not attendance. My bad.
Yeah.
If the time, it all depends on the times, but yeah, that's going to be a very interesting storyline. I think all in all, though, I don't know how big of an effect it will have on it, but you'd be foolish to think there wouldn't be something there. But that's a good point with the Irish. I did not realize those are on the same date. This is actually going to be pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is, and I think Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko are pretty stupid to do that because...
Yeah, me too. They're going against the Conor McGregor show.
Yeah, when you have the world tour, the Conor McGregor show, and him and Nate Diaz, I mean, the UFC better be doing a world tour for this. And them trash-talking that whole time, I mean, everybody and their mom's going to be ready for that rematch. And it's going to be so hyped up. I mean, I think it's going to be all over the press. It's almost going to be like a little holiday. And to put, you know, I think Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury would be probably a more hyped up fight at this point. But Vladimir Klitschko is huge in his part of the world. But to put that fight on the same date was just a blunder once again by boxing, which keeps making blunders over and over. I mean, you have Canelo Alvarez fighting fucking Amir Khan, who's two weight classes below. I mean, this isn't Conor McGregor going up. This is a guy nobody cares about fighting a guy who's supposed to be taking over the Floyd Mayweather, you know, pay-per-view king of, you know, boxing. You have Manny Pacquiao fighting Bradley. I mean, do you even know they were fighting coming up? I think maybe even this weekend or maybe next weekend.
No.
I mean, it is horrible, man. It is. I mean, boxing right now.
I hate to admit, we're missing Floyd. I miss him, to be honest. Even though I wasn't the biggest fan of the guy, I paid attention when he fought. I miss him a little bit.
And Manny, before he was like the before. Like, and then he was the anti-gay man. Like, I mean, I think that, do you think that Manny Floyd hurt boxing for years to come? Like, that fight just seemed so bad.
I think so, man. It really hurt Manny's legacy. I will admit this. At one point, Manny was considered the pound best. He was like a god. The way he fought, he was destroying people. One of the biggest names in the world. He was running for senator. And then I was read he was attacked the other day outside of something because of his his Semitic, homophobic comments. He's gay. He keeps it real. That's how he feels. I mean, I don't agree with the guy at all, but I mean, he's not the most liked person right now. And this is a huge fall from grace, Ryan. I mean, this is pretty fucking big. Like, this is a guy who was the freaking, he used to run this country. Didn't he play basketball in the Olympics? Like, he was everything for the Philippines. And then just this stumble is quite amazing. It is. Manny Pacquiao has gone from one of the most beloved to the most hated. And just, you know, he sucks at fighting. He really needs to win against Timothy Bradley, man.
And I'm probably going to pick Timothy Bradley, even though Manny clearly beat him twice. But what was I going to say? Well, first off, what a lot of people don't know, and this happens in boxing, but it seems it just can't happen in MMA for some reason. Manny legitimately was fighting on one leg. He was hurt, but there is too much money in that fight for him to pull out. I mean, there's medical records showing that his leg was completely gone. Like, he injured his leg on the build-up of that fight, or it's his shoulder or something. I believe it was his shoulder. He fucked up. But he did not pull out. And that was, I think, one of the biggest mistakes of not pushing the fight back a little bit, you know, like, because we didn't see the best. They're not having it at the right time, too. And I think if, you know, boxing needs, you know, Canelo versus Triple G will be big. I think the heavyweight division is coming back. For boxing, PBC, which we hyped up on the show, Premier Boxing Championship, was supposed to be like the next UFC of boxing.
What happened, Al Heyman?
Lost like $200 million. Like, they're going bankrupt. It's almost as bad as World Series.
I read he had some legal issues, too, Al.
Yeah.
He made a shot, though. He took a swing.
He took a big motherfucking swing. But, you know, like, when you look at it, you know, you could have had Manny fighting Canelo Alvarez. That would have been a huge fight. Everyone would have been talking about it. But Manny Pacquiao, boxing right now, nobody fights nobody. It's bad English, but it's the truth. None of the champions will fight each other. Nobody will fight Triple G except Canelo, maybe eventually. And Floyd Mayweather keeps saying, I could beat Triple G, but he's clearly scared to fight him. So that's hurting Triple G's appeal. He's fighting a nobody once again. But Manny Pacquiao, the best opponent they could find for him was a guy that they already failed twice on pay-per-view going against each other. Like, that pay-per-view has already failed twice, and you're going to have it for a third time? This is where the show's Andrew. As much as we hate
Kennedy, Ryan, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth. And as much as we hate on the UFC, and at least the guys from boxing are not running the motherfucking UFC. That's all I got to say about that.
I actually wanted to ask you this question. Just because you were talking about knowing, it's kind of a broader topic. I like to call it, you know, the philosophy of fighting in mixed martial. Just in this day and age, people think, you know, they saw Mayweather be able to go without losing. You saw the world turned on Ronda. Didn't turn on Conor as much because, I mean, shoot, the only reason why Conor lost was because he fought an opponent two times his weight class on 2 weeks' notice. I don't care what you say, but, yeah, that's not going to bode well for you, fighting someone bringing 30 pounds heavier than you on 2 weeks' notice, too. A completely different fighter than Pacquiao dos Anjos. But, you know, sadly, you know, you have to think the only way a fighter, a true fighter, is really going to finish their career undefeated, a long career, is they're going to have to do it like Mayweather did. Duck, pick, and choose your opponents, you know what I mean? A lot of fighters don't have that mentality, but then you have, well, we don't see that mentality really as much in mixed martial arts as we do in boxing, but the view of the society, you know, once you lose, it's like, you know, people aren't admitting that Ronda wasn't one of the best fighters, that Conor wasn't one of the, well, maybe not Conor so much, but Anderson even, when he lost, you know what I mean? So do you think they're afraid because, you know, once they feel like, I feel like the average fan, the average viewer, nothing will touch Mayweather because he's undefeated and they just see the undefeated. So, like, do you think that's just people are scared just because, you know, how your careers look when you go from undefeated to a loss? Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get the thinking behind this because, as you're saying, it doesn't make sense.
This is called the Mayweather generation, and this is just for boxing. It seems like when you look at the generation, after Muhammad Ali, who would fight motherfucking anybody, he fought George Foreman when nobody wanted to touch George Foreman, and he seemed to be done at that point in his career. After that, in the 80s, everybody would fight everybody. Sugar Ray Leonard came out of a 5-year retirement and fought either Hagler or Hearns, I forget which one, at middleweight, he went up a weight class and beat him just because he wanted to prove he was the best in a controversial one of the best fights ever. And that's how the 80s and the early 90s were in boxing. And then you have the Tyson, and you have the slow build-up, and, you know, knocking people out. And that kind of changed things a little bit, but people were still fighting people. They kind of used Tyson as their idol. I want to knock people the fuck out. I want to be exciting. I want to be the wild gangster, blah, blah, blah. And then now we have the Floyd Mayweather generation in boxing, which is I want to stay undefeated for as long as I motherfucking can and not fight anybody and collect titles against the worst champions, because there's four fucking champions in each division. This would be like if MMA didn't have, like, the champion wasn't the UFC champion. There was four champions. There was a Bellator champion, a UFC champion, a ONE-FC champion, and a World Series of Fighting champion. And the UFC champion always chose to fight the Bellator, or the, no, I would say probably the World Series of Fighting champion instead, or the ONE-FC champion instead of fighting the UFC champion. That's what's going on in boxing. But in MMA, Andrew, sometimes it turns against the UFC. Because if you look at a guy, I'll start with Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, his first fight in the UFC, we talk shit about Frank Mir now. But when Brock Lesnar first fought Frank Mir, he was legitimately one of the best heavyweights on the planet. And it was Brock Lesnar's second fight. And I think it was his third or fourth fight where he fought Randy Couture, which was considered one of the best, you know, he still is one of the best heavyweights of all time in MMA. That is not a slow build-up. Kimbo Slice kind of got built up slow, but we saw how the UFC dealt with him. They threw him to the wolves. Conor McGregor, people could say he got a slow build-up, but Dustin Poirier is tearing people up at 155. You know, he fought one of the best.
The sixth foot, who's the sixth for Holloway?
Yeah, Holloway, the number four guy in the division now. The German dude had fought, I forget his name, but Dennis Seaver. He was he had almost the most knockouts ever in that division. What they did was they didn't give Conor McGregor a wrestler, but on 2 weeks' notice they gave him Chad Mendes, proved that he could fight wrestlers. And then they threw him against Aldo. That was the slowest build-up you could possibly get in MMA, and still he was thrown against the wolves. And that shows that the UFC, do they do it right? Or do we would we rather see, like, a guy, you know, is the UFC not producing as many Conor McGregors because they're losing too quickly because they're all fighting each other, like, the 155-pound division, did Anthony Pettis get thrown to the wolves too quick? Could he have been a bigger superstar? You know what I'm saying? Like, did certain guys kind of get the bad end of the shift because, you know, bad end of the shift, I don't know if that's the right thing, but, you know, like, did certain guys, could certain guys have been bigger stars if they would have, you know, just not fought in as tough competition, like, Weidman fought Rockhold, you know. He fought the older guys, and then he finally faced the guy that was just so good and so to his level, and he lost. And that's taken a lot of that mystique from Weidman. And you hear nobody talking about, oh, what would Chris Weidman do against John Bones Jones? No, look at that. I mean, look at even John Bones Jones.
Not at all. Now it's what would Rockhold do against Bones?
Yeah, and Rockhold's big, but I mean, Jones is on another level. And I think in MMA, it takes a guy like Jones, who, as much as I hate him, I mean, you have to look at him. Maybe he's boring sometimes, but he is, like, right now, you got to say, maybe the scariest guy on the planet. The way he was able to not only go against the wolves, dominate the wolves. I mean, do you think John Jones, that separates him from everyone else? And is the tall guys like Demetrius Johnson, how he's dominated his division, is it just because of his weight class that he looks as not as big of a badass as, like, a Conor McGregor when he ran through his division?